If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Divine love, light, and sound of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is being yourself and living true to your own convictions and knowing. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the integration of that bastard cosmic self that you are to inhabit your human personality. Experience it entering your mind as a quickening of clarity and light. Feel it settle down into your emotions as a centering calmness. And feel it integrate into your physical envelope as a sense of liveliness and vitality, as a surcharging of your spiritual batteries. Take another deep breath and bring even more of that in. Allow it to flood your whole biophysical sphere. And with your next breath, expand it out in a field all around your body. Ready? And just occupy this moment and get a sense of the self that you are. As that vital sentiency that you're feeling right now, that tingling energy that doesn't seem confined at all to the physical parameters of the body, and it's not. As you gradually expand the awareness of the self that you are, all sense of limitation in terms of spatial definition and localized positioning of consciousness will simply fade away. It will simply dissolve as you're able to embrace of that wider expansion of consciousness. So everything one experiences and realizes is determined by one state of consciousness and one's personal wavelength or vibration within that field of consciousness. We inhabit a cosmic field of energy, electrical in nature, pure fohat, as it's called in the ancient wisdom teachings, of which lightning is the closest approximation, of pure, formless source energy. And it is our own state of consciousness that determines our experiential reality. So everything one experiences and realizes is determined by one state of consciousness. And that is why you cannot see what you're not ready to see, or realize what you're not ready to realize. And that is how the deeper mysteries of life are protected, and how each individual is protected from being exposed to a energy field that individual is not able or equipped to handle yet. So consciousness is ever expanding into greater awareness. And yet, the interesting thing is, in all of creation, you as an individualized soul are unique. So really, your only task here is to be yourself. To find out what that self is. And to know that self. And be true to that self. Because that self fully realized is indistinguishable from divine source. That self is literally one with God. So your true self is one with divine source and is immortal and perfect, always has been and always will be. And so we bring ourselves up to that. We call ourselves forward into that. Because here in this dimension, as you've noticed, we have a mind. In fact, it is the merging of the mind with spirit that forms what we call the human being or the Homo sapien, the one who can know God, the one who can consciously serve God. But what is the God that we are to know and to serve? It has to be found within. That's the interesting thing, is that every single thing that we seek to know, that we seek to attain, we must attune to within our own inner self. There is nothing apart from that. The world that you see when you open your eyes is totally reflective. It simply plays back to you the state of consciousness that you're looking through. So, it's true to understand that when you look at something, you affect it. You cause it to look to you the way it appears. When you change the way you look at something, what you look at adjusts accordingly. So the entire universal field, which we would call your personal universe or your personal consciousness zone, completely rearranges itself to accommodate your preference, your projected preference and expectation of what you expect will happen, will be seen, whatever is what will appear to you. So creation is entirely neutral in the divine sense. It's neither good nor bad. So it is the mind and the use of the mind by the viewer that causes any differentiation to seem to appear. That's what's so interesting when you work in the field of consciousness, when you get to know the self as the dreamer of the dream, as the magical conjurer of that which appears. So fascinating. So you're never the victim of the world you see because you have invented the world that you're seeing. You know, one of the great, great Surat Shabd yoga masters, the Master Sawan Singh, had described the soul as like a silken scarf. You know, those white silken katas that the Dalai Lama or other Tibetans will place around your neck. It's like that. It's like a pure white kata, a silken scarf. And let's say the silken scarf represents the soul, that inner core essence of sentient awareness that resides as your core essence inside you. And the great master said that it's like a silken scarf that's become entangled in a thorn bush. So that when you try to escape the world, you try to soul transcend beyond the known, beyond the mind, beyond the thinking, it gets caught on those thorns. And what are those thorns? They're the attachments that we have made to the things of this world. Now, once you have the courage to look inside yourself and to become aware of the things that you have bought into as a must-have, have-to-have, desire-to-have, all of those affirmations of your lacking, whatever it is that you think you have to have, are like a thorn that holds you into this world of constant appearing and disappearing, birth and death, and all of the polarities of experience that we seem to go through that give us so many problems. It's because we're attached to the unreal, to the ephemeral, to that that has no more value but the value we have given it. And seldom, seldom, seldom do we ever realize that these attachments mean nothing to us. They're not really what we want. They're not what we're seeking. They will not fulfill us. And life after life, we get an opportunity to pursue these attachments, to have them for a brief moment, perhaps. But they always disappoint. They always leave us empty. So the soul is entrapped in the inner state, the antikarana, we could call it, the inner consciousness, by attachments that are primarily mental in nature. They are decisions that we've made about what's important. They're value judgments placed on that which is valueless. But it's interesting, once you turn the light of your awareness, when you are not afraid to look, you're not afraid to own those areas where you're stuck. You're not trying to avoid or evade or escape. You're just being present with that which shows up and seeing it for what it is. The moment you do that, you have released that silken scarf, that soul essence from one of the thorns of attachment. And wonder of wonders, it simply dissolves back into the nothingness and is no more to be heard from. Once you see anything clearly, you have set it free. That is the power of your vision. And I'm talking about your inner vision, which then releases those entrapped by your outer attachment. So whenever you break free in a level of your consciousness, everyone that's associated with you is set a little bit freer within themselves. Because we're all walking each other home. We're all ascending the same mountain. We're all tethered in together. We're all going home together as a family of light. But the only home we've ever departed is the home within ourselves. We've always been home. We've just been having a dream that we're elsewhere. I wish you had a nightmare where you awakened in a cold sweat, trembling, and found you were in your own bedroom, in your own bed, quite safe and sound. Well, life is like that. Before you awaken to your reality, to your true self, it's one humongous nightmare. And yet, when you open your eyes, you find you've never left home. You've never left the heart of God. And so the inner vision, the vision that has been occupied with looking without, once it's turned within, begins to illumine your bedroom, your inner home that you've never left, that you share with the creative source. So allow that to really sink in. That the outer world is simply a reflection of one's own inner state. That what you desire, happiness, love, peace, harmony, security, abundance, well-being, freedom, can all be experienced now by your recognition of that state within your own inner being, your own state of consciousness. You've probably all had an epiphany moment where you suddenly got it, as we would say here in California, you grokked it. You suddenly understood the whole thing in a nutshell without having to process it. That's what happens when you see in spirit. When you see through the inner vision of the soul, through the, I guess we could call it awareness, that's the clearest definition, would be inner awareness. When you see through higher inner awareness, the result is pristine clarity and simplicity. And it's one of those things where you go, oh, because it sets you free inside, it gives you a relief. So how do you track that inner place? It's so simple. You simply stay present with what's going on in your life. You stay present. Oh, some people call it mindfulness. That's okay. The thing of it is, we tend to identify with our thoughts, with our areas of attachment, with our projected idealism and ideals, so that we keep identifying ourselves in lack. And because we put our energy and our focus of identification into that, that becomes what we experience. Because every time you say, I want, I need, I desire, I must have, what are you doing? You're telling the universe that you're a person that lacks. And the universe reflects back to you, lack. It's reflecting. You are an emanation of the Supreme Creator. So what you think and what you say becomes an edict that you are thinking and speaking into the creative matrix. So the one thing you can never do is not be like your Creator. You can never not be creative. So that's why it is so important to know who you are, to know what you are, to know the constitution of how you're put together esoterically, that you are a combination of unlimited spirit expressing through a limited mind field that is trapped in time. Trapped in a sense of time, I would say, because time exists nowhere but in the human brain. It allows a slowing down and a sequencing of events within the quantum field so that you can use life as a laboratory. So you can go into your life like a scientist into his laboratory, and you can examine and scrutinize consciousness, the fascinating malleable, unlimited source field that we have, in which we live and move and have our being, and become a conscious co-creator with God, a conscious co-participant in cosmic creation and unfoldment. In areas yet to be seeded with life and clothed in forms and universes yet to be. That's your destiny. In fact, that's what you're already doing in the eternal now. It's just that we are reminding the consciousness of that here in this time field in which we seem to be having this conversation. Conscious cosmic co-creators. Because the creations in these lower realms that I often call the realms under the law of polarity and differentiation, polarity and duality, those realms are complete. That's why you're just seeing the past. You're not experiencing anything as it truly is until you transcend all of the psychic and material fields of consciousness beneath the soul. You're just rehashing what you've already experienced. You're reviewing the real, so to speak. But you're not experiencing anything that's authentic and real. You're just seeing the past replayed. Interesting, isn't it? But when you get above the thoughts, the conditioning, you break through and you see a whole different level of life, of reality, of unlimited creative potential, of a vibrant joy in which your own ecstasy creates. You don't create out of thought, you create out of ecstasy. So one of the things that we need to learn to do is to cease trying to do anything that does not fully engage your heart. What doesn't fully capture your interest and hold your full attention is not for you. It's not for you. It's something you have lived through and completed because it doesn't come alive inside you. And only that which is of the higher divine levels comes alive inside you. Knowledge that has been digested is refuse. It is past, it's dead, it's done. You release it. But that which is of spirit is intensely ecstatic. It's vibrant with life. It has a way of creating itself. You people who are creative artists know exactly what I'm talking about. The great composers, for example, they were able to tap into the divine sound currents that live in a vitality and a reality beyond the linear mind, beyond the knowledge of music, beyond all the theories and all of the machinations that we've created around the creative process. And it's born of itself. It has a life of itself. It has a vitality of itself. And it literally is birthed through that prepared and open and attuned instrument. Now, getting the instrument to where it's that finely attuned is another thing. We've all had many, many, many incarnational episodes in which we have practiced fine-tuning the human instrument so that today the human instrument is finely attuned. It's like a sitar that has been perfectly tuned so it catches all the nuances of spirit. It just hasn't really been test-drived, just test-driven, tested, put to the test, called forward onto the dance floor Why? Because often we lack the confidence to simply go with what the heart is telling us is for us to do. It's such a non-mental approach. And yet the mind itself becomes the host of the Holy Spirit when it is purified of attachment. When the mind is purified so that it acts as a conduit for the pure source energy to flow through and illumine the personality with creative intelligence, then it becomes a marvelous tool. But you have to have the courage to stay present with yourself and the courage to look at what you're running in your life. You know, so many people are afraid of their minds. You'll hear statements like, I just need my space. I have to get away from it all. I want to go to Timbuktu, to a isolated island, and just be. The only problem is when they get to that island, they're with their thoughts. They're with their conditioning. They're with their attachments to lack and lesser livingness. And so they find out that they don't like being on an isolated island with their thoughts very much because they haven't made friends with their thoughts, with their mind. Everything that you have within and without is your helper that's assisting you to get home by the fastest possible route. Every person, every experience, everything is there to help you awaken to your own divinity, your own godhood, everything. So make friends. Love it all. Bless it all. It's all good. No matter what is going on in your life, keep reminding yourself, this is leading me where I want to go. This is helping me. This is good for me. This is God's grace. This is a blessing. So pay attention to the things that really engage your heart. I'm not talking about your emotions. In fact, when we speak of heart, we're actually referring to your divine core essence. But you know what it is because it fully engages you, captures your full attention, to where you lose a sense of time and space and difference and distance, and you become one with whatever that thing is. Whatever does that for you is meant for you. That is the hand of grace extending into your life. Now, to embrace of that, you have to really give yourself permission and allow yourself the freedom to say no when something doesn't feel clear for you to be involved with. You can do that without making people wrong, without offending them, but have the courage to own your experience and your right to call the shots in your life. That means you cease trying to fit yourself into another's mold or to conform to another's expectations. Have you noticed you never can please another ego? The ego is forever discontent. You will never please anyone's false self. So quit trying. And please yourself. Always allow yourself the freedom to change your mind and make another decision, make another choice, change directions. We won't know if a direction fits until we step into it, because the potential of that arena will not activate until you've made a decision to step into it. You catch my drift? You have to actually step into something before it presents whatever it is that it's going to present. So you can't, like, think about it and try to experience it vicariously. No, you haven't activated it. Because you live in a field of innumerable possibilities. Sometimes they're called parallel reality lines. But they're only activated when you choose into walking into one of them. So when you do that, you can see right away whether it's going to be walking in the light of your heart and your knowing and your convictions, or if it's going to present a field that's incompatible with what you know is true to your inner being. Sometimes it's very subtle, but never walk in a path where you have a red flag come up, where you feel a check in your spirit. Check it out. And sometimes you have to lean right into it to check it out, to activate it to where you can see what it is. Eventually, you'll learn to discern in the spirit. Before you have to step into something, you will be operating from the dimension of knowing. And then you don't have to check things out so much. You know a thing by its atmosphere, let's say. You know the atmosphere of the presence of God. And that's what you stay in. That's called dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High when you've awakened to your true self. And then you're in a state of being and awareness and bliss. And you're operating in that body called the Ananda Kosha, or the bliss body. And that's the body that the masters operate in all the time. Which means that they are very, very, should we say, in the world but not of it, and the details of the world don't impress them all that much. They work within the consciousness, malleability that humanity as a collective presents, because no one can violate your consciousness nor the collective consciousness of humanity. Every highly evolved being that works with humanity allows humanity to come to its own conclusions, its own step, its own way, its own knowing, to follow its own convictions, to find its own path of approach. But on the other hand, it also expresses as an overseership that prevents humanity from coming into destruction and ruin. That's something you really need to pay attention to. When you go on the YouTubes and you see all these fearful prognostications about possible destruction of the planet and, you know, all of these awful things, you have to understand that the planet is the body of a great being called a Logos. It is the body of manifestation of Sanat Kumara, who is the Lord, or the Logos, that inhabits this sphere as its body of manifestation. And that all the planets serve as centers of consciousness within a greater being. Nestled within a greater being, nestled within a greater being, nestled within an even greater being, and it goes on and on and on and on, so that we always live and move and have our being as part of the life of a greater being in which we live and move and exist. Just as you, as a human personality, live and move and have your being within soul awareness, which is again nested within the greater spiritual or monadic awareness, which is again nested within a greater cosmic awareness, so that you are a world within a world within a world, just as our planet. And everything operates according to divine laws that keep everything in its proper zone of frequency and operation. Nothing happens amiss. Nothing will ever happen that is not part of a greater divine orchestration. And that's why humanity has lost itself in its mind, in its sense of separation from everything else. And so as we begin individually to dissolve those areas where we're attached to limitation and isolation, and the fictitious self that we've built around our unlimited holiness, we begin to lighten up humanity. That's the one thing that we each as light workers can do, is awaken beyond the conditioning of the collective mind. That can be our contribution, that we are stepping free. We are stepping into greater spiritual awakening, awareness, integration, and actualization. And we radiate that through everything we say, think, and do, and that is our contribution to this planet, to the logos of this planet, to the universe, and to the occupancy that we have had here on our Earth Watch. So we are here to participate fully in life, but in an awakened, aware, mindful state. And to do that, you need to train yourself to not live out of the personal self. The personal self is identified by where you begin to think it's all about you, where you take ready offense, the slightest little slight. You're always imagining what people are thinking about you, and actually they're not thinking about you at all. Nobody's interested in you. They're interested in themselves. But when you're personally focused on that lesser self, that limited human self, you take everything personally. Make a big deal out of everything that revolves around your little world. So it's why we take a time out from that kind of thinking, and we sit down and we meditate. We chant mantra. We chant hu. Or we chant om. Or you chant your tone or word that you were given in initiation. Or you pick a mantra. It doesn't matter where you get it. But pick a phrase, a statement, a mantra, and repeat it so that the mind has something to think about and something to do while you slip past it as a higher awareness of soul. And when you are able to escape that human self-involvement in a limited sense, and to move into your transpersonal self, you begin to flood that mind, that mental body, that astral body, that causal and etheric body with greater illumination and light. So each time you come back from an immersion in your true higher self, you're a little clearer and a little clearer and a little clearer until gradually the mind field and the whole auric field is clear and purified. But you have to give yourself a break from the known, from the conditioning, from the monkey mind. Give it some mantra bananas and let it leap from branch to branch because that's what it's going to do. But don't pay any attention to it. People identify with their thoughts, but you're not your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. Thoughts are shared. There's a big matrix of thinking called the universal mind, which you could say is like our collective thought pool that we've all contributed to as our agreed upon reality construct. But each one of us dismantles it by our individual meditation. And that's how we can contribute to planetary awakening. We have to awaken from our own dream field, from our own gerbil cage. We have to attend to our own monkeys. But your thoughts don't mean anything. If you want to know how meaningless your thoughts are, pay attention to some of them. They're all over the map. You'll think of the most ridiculous things at the most inopportune moment. Won't you? Don't you? Don't we? Of course you do. We all do. That's why they're utterly meaningless. They don't mean anything at all. They are not yours. They're just bats flying through your belfry. You know, just look at them. Oh, that's bats flying through my belfry. Let them go. Let them fly through. They don't mean anything. You don't have to feel guilty because you're thinking of sex in the middle of some holy event. Laugh. More bats from the belfry, or whatever your thoughts are. We think all sorts of thoughts, but they don't mean anything. There's a whole lesson in the Course of Miracles. My thoughts do not mean anything. They are showing me a meaningless world. And a meaningless world engenders fear. But within my mind are the thoughts of God, the thoughts that I share with God. And those thoughts reveal to me a world of meaning, lit by heaven's loveliness. And so beyond the thoughts, beyond the monkeys, leaping from branch to branch, topic to topic, one foolish thing to another foolish thing, there is a whole world of brilliant beauty and creative potential that you are releasing yourself into every time you simply stay present with what's going on here and now. And you look at it through the clear light of the soul, the clear vision of eyes, through which God itself looks. God is the light by which you see, and vision is God's gift. So inner vision is what sees outwardly through the orifices of the eyes, but it doesn't see an outer world. It sees the content of your own interpretive factors. Your own interpretations is what you see when you open your eyes. Isn't that the oddest thing? The eyes do not see an outer world. They reflect the inner state of consciousness. amazing. You know, something that can prove that to you without any difficulty, because we can all find this experience. When you're down on yourself, you've judged yourself, and you feel really bad about yourself, you tend to look at the world in a grumpy fashion. You look outside and nothing's beautiful. Everything bothers you. You don't like people. You don't want to go out. You don't want to be involved with anyone. You're a curmudgeon. You know, you're Doc Martin. Nothing looks right. And then when you've had let's say you're in love, and everything all of a sudden looks beautiful. You feel loving towards people, and you feel open to experience, and you want to go out and have fun, and you want to interact with people and with life. What changed? Only your inner self changed. And that's why, you know, you really can't go out and be an ambassador of goodwill if you don't like yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't like yourself, if you don't know yourself, then you're not going to be able to go out and enjoy life. Everything's going to have a sour note to it. So how are you going to know yourself if you don't give yourself a break? What if you decided right now that everything you do or don't do is done by God through you and it's none of your business? That's what God told me one day. Everything you do or don't do is none of your business. It's God that's living in you, as you, through you. Yeah, the whole enchilada. Your ego self, your soul aware self, your monadic aware God self, your poor little pity pot miserable self, your dark, dreary, and dismal self, and your illumined, radiant, beautiful, glorious, divine, eternal self. They're all expressions of one divine consciousness that we would call God, or Paramatma, or Brahman, or whatever you want to call the all that is. So it's none of your business. So what's to know? Whatever presents, whatever shows up, whatever it is, love it and bless it, and work with it to your highest potential. Make it as beautiful as you can, as enjoyable as you can, as lighthearted as you can. And remember, you never have enough information to ever judge yourself or another. That is like a trap door that slams on your bliss. So don't do that to yourself. Know that everyone is doing the very best they possibly can, given their state of consciousness, their level of awareness, and the available resources they have at hand. Everyone is doing their very best. And what they're doing is none of your business either. So what you're doing and what they're doing is none of your business. What is your business? Whatever fully engages your heart, your interest, and holds your full attention. which I can tell you will be very, very joyful and happy and fun and lighthearted when you get over being so dead serious about your personal inadequacies. You know that you have to have personal limitations and inadequacies to be able to enter this earth school? Why is that? Because you're in training to be cosmic co-workers, and you have to experience all states of consciousness in order to qualify for the job. God is the soul, by definition, that has had all experiences. And as part of God, you volunteer to have all experiences. So there's not one that's better or lesser or greater or holier than another. They're all part of the course that you take when you say, yes, I would like to experience what it's like to come into the earth and be limited by my mind, my definitions of things. I'd like to experience things in their contrasting manifestations. I'd like to experience the false self and darkness so that I can appreciate finding the true self and reveling in the light and clarity of truth. So everything is grist for the mill. Everything is part of what you've come to experience, that you signed up for before you came in, and that you're equipped to handle, or it wouldn't be on your plate, and is ultimately going to bring you incredible joy, even if at the moment you seem to be in the doldrums of the worst misery ever. You will reap the greatest, unimaginable joy when you see above the mind and the thoughts, and the conditioning. When you find that place within yourself where you're whole and perfectly healthy and perfectly contented and fulfilled, and that you are pure love and a wholeness so whole that there's nothing missing, nothing lacking, and you just see everything as absolutely perfect, just as it is. I've met many saints and great beings on the planet personally who have attained that state and live from that state all the time. And you know what? Not one of them came to that state without having a very difficult life, because it was in the catalytic matrix of a difficult life that they awakened beyond the difficulty and found the kingdom of heaven within their own inner states of consciousness. That's how you find it. So use your life as your laboratory to go deep into knowing your inner self, your own convictions, your own knowing, and value that above the knowing and the convictions, the experience and the rhetoric of any other person. To your own self be true. And in that, you will find that the whole universe will sing songs and hymns of praise over you. For you have discovered you are the promised one. You are the one beloved. You are the awakened Christ. You are the one who's come out of the closet and is dancing in the light of eternal being. And that's worth everything to come to that place. So stay present with what's going on in your life and don't be afraid to look at it. Because in the looking at it through higher awareness, you dissolve the blocks, the brambles, the thorns, the attachments, and you set yourself and all of us free. And that's the only thing you need to do. That's it. That's the whole gig down here on planet Earth. So I hope this has been helpful. I think it's appropriate if we just bless each other and know that our holiness illumines this world. And your holiness blesses me. My holiness blesses you. And together, all of creation is blessed in that holiness that we share with our Creator. So let's go out chanting Anai Hu. Deep breath. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.